You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, everybody. What's going on? Welcome into First Take on this Friday Eve. Brian Windhorst gracing your screen, top of the morning cue. I'm Molly Karam. Tim Legler here with me. How are we doing, Tim?
Good to be here.
Good to see you. And Kimberly A. Martin and Mike T. will be here in moments. Again, there's a little drama happening with Justin Fields and the Bears. We'll break all that down for you. Stephen A. is off today. He will be back tomorrow. All right, guys. So the second half of the NBA season is officially here, and it's go time with the playoffs right around the corner. With that being said, Tuesday, Stephen A. gave us his post-All-Star break top storylines to watch. Number one was LeBron's last stand. Here's SA explaining why.
Give me number one. LeBron's last stand. The Los Angeles Lakers were in the Western Conference Finals last year. We can't summarily dismiss that. If LeBron James and Anthony Davis continue to play the way that they play, and D'Angelo Russell continues to be as effective as he's been the last few weeks, Rui Hachimura and the rest of the crew comes up and remembers how to play basketball with one another like they've been doing in the playoffs, this could be it, because the Lakers don't have too many assets. If they don't make a run this year, we don't know if they will. They may be finished for good.
Okay, Wendy, before we get into SA's list, LeBron's out tonight against the Warriors with an ankle injury. What's the latest in the concern level there?
Yeah, so in talking to folks around the situation, I don't think that they believe LeBron is going to be out an extended period. He's missed three games in back-to-back sets over the last couple of months dealing with this tendinopathy in his left ankle. He had some treatment, which he didn't specify exactly what it was, but he had some treatment during the All-Star break, and he hinted on Sunday at the All-Star game that he might not be able to play in this game. So that's indeed what is happening. Now, it is a tough stretch right out of the gate here for the Lakers. They play three games in 4 days, starting tonight against the Warriors. His status for tomorrow night's game against the Spurs and Sunday's game against the Suns hasn't been determined yet, but I have been told that this is not something to fear a long absence. This is just recovery from treatment, and expect to see him back soon.
Okay, Wendy, appreciate that. I want to get back to Stephen A's list right now. Legs, tell me this. Do you agree with Stephen A that LeBron is the top story to watch as we get into the second half of the NBA season?
It wouldn't be for me. It wouldn't be for and the reason is I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to make a run through the Western Conference. So we could call it the last stand. I don't know exactly what that means. I think, you know, this isn't his last chance where we're going to be talking about LeBron James on a team that potentially could be dangerous. That's what the Lakers represent. There's too many minefields in the West. This isn't last year's Western Conference. This is going to be a different run for the Lakers. So I think there's other storylines to me that are more interesting. Is Jason Tatum finally going to break through and win a ring? Are the Clippers going to be able to pull this off? Do the Bucks turn things around here the last 25 games after the coaching change? And do Dame and Giannis work? Do the Cavs and Knicks have what it takes to make a legitimate conference finals run? So I think there are more storylines for me that are more compelling, because I think there's other teams that legitimately have a chance to make a deep run, whether that's conference finals, potentially finals, or maybe even be a title winner. I don't think the Lakers fall into that category for me. Look, LeBron is always going to generate buzz because it's LeBron James, and the Lakers did what they did last year. Basically had an irrelevant regular season, make the run to the conference finals, which extended us talking about LeBron for 6 weeks. That's not going to be the case, I don't believe, this year, regardless of how well they're playing right now. I think there's more complete, deeper, better defensive teams that have just as much star power in the Western Conference.
Well, Molly, I think LeBron's been the top story in the NBA for most of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think Stephen A. has taken a position that is out of line there. What's so fascinating about the Lakers is that so much of the time they're basically an average to above average team. I mean, they are in ninth place.
Yeah.
But they were in ninth place right about now a year ago. And the thing about this team that is just wild is that they have the ability to elevate their game sort of at the drop of a hat. We saw it happen in last year's playoffs. We saw it happen in the in-season tournament. We've seen it happen over the last month. You know, they have really gotten their act together a little bit. They've won 8 of their last 11 games. And Darvin Ham has leaned into a big lineup where they're starting Hachimura alongside LeBron and AD, which gives them certain advantages. And there are teams, guys, that have trouble with size in the Western Conference. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think the Lakers can replicate the run that they had last year. But I will tell you that there are teams that if they get the perfect path and things just fall their way and they play their best basketball, they could. It would be irresponsible for me to say that they're not. And because that they are the Lakers, and that is true, they have a lot of attention. And I'm going to say one thing that I disagree with Stephen A. on. I don't think this is LeBron's last stand. I don't think this is the Lakers' last stand. First off, I think LeBron is angling to sign a multi-year deal in the offseason with the Lakers that will be 9 figures, that will be even bigger than the deal he is on now. Now, whether or not he's able to finish that deal, whether or not the Lakers want to give him a 3-year contract and pay him $60 million when he's 42 years old, that's a different discussion. And I actually believe some of the stuff he's saying right now isn't just about this team, it's about already negotiating that contract. But the Lakers are in position to make a big swing at a trade this summer. That is one of the reasons why they didn't do a deal at this trade deadline. There was no big players to get. Their assets were more limited. When we get to June, the Lakers will magically go from 1 tradable first-round pick to 3 tradable first-round picks because of some arcane rules in the system. And they all their players the teams didn't want because they had multiple years left on their contract will have 1 or 2 years left on their contracts. They are in much better position to make a major swing for a trade this summer. And if other teams in the league have disappointing finishes, which you know there will be, you will see opportunities arise for the Lakers. They are a compelling team today, they will be a compelling team tomorrow, and they will be a compelling team in June and July.
Here's one thing I will say, Wendy. I agree with you about certain teams matchup-wise with the Lakers being a little bit of a problem. What's going to be very interesting, and this will just further this discussion with the Lakers, if they get to an Oklahoma City or a Minnesota in the first round, a lot of people are going to make the Lakers favorites in that series. And it's mainly because, not because those aren't good teams, and particularly Minnesota, because they're big and they defend really well. It's because of the lack of collective playoff success that those two teams have. And now you're going to take on a Lakers team with what they have and what they represent in LeBron James. So that would get interesting because maybe they get through that round, but I think that's where it would stop for me, because that's when you run into a Clippers team potentially, or you run into a Nuggets team in the next round, and I think that's where the run will end for the Lakers. They're going to be brought up week after week after week, particularly if they keep winning games the way they are right now and they're playing well as we head into the break. They're going to be a topic of discussion. I just look at them relative to what they are going to have to do and who they're going to have to play at full strength. And I think this is going to end after the first round.
They're always going to be a topic of discussion, but I find that other team in L.A. a little more interesting, the Clippers. And same with the Bucks in Boston, which we'll get into later segments in the show. Before we move on from the Lakers, guys, though, I want to ask you this, Legs. Is LeBron they made a run last season, right? They ended up making a run last season in the playoffs. Is LeBron the most important player for that to happen, or who will we be focusing in on?
He is for me, and here's why. You know, when you look at all the teams, and we've talked about a number of them in the Western Conference, somebody's going to have to match or outplay the best player on those teams. That's going to be LeBron James, because he is still capable of being able to do that. LeBron James is about control, and to me, that's where this becomes, the question about this team, what's most important. Anthony Davis, when he plays well, that's always been the thing. When Anthony Davis plays well, Lakers are tough to beat. I agree. But LeBron James is the one in control, even when Anthony Davis is playing well. So for me, it's always going to be about LeBron James. And if LeBron James is very good, it's not going to be good enough. He has to be great when you go up in these series against these top stars of these other teams, whether that's a Kevin Durant or that's a Luka or that's a Jokic or Shea or whoever it may be. It's going to fall on LeBron James. That's the guy that we're going to expect to be able to raise his level of play to go toe-to-toe with those best players. And then you hope Anthony Davis is better than the second star on those teams, or D'Angelo Russell has a very good series. But to me, it starts with LeBron because of the extent to which he controls the game and controls the pace of play. That is why he's the most important player still on the Lakers and will continue to be as long as he's on the court.
Wendy?
Everything that Legs just said makes sense, but I'm afraid that it's not really the answer. And the answer is why the Lakers have indigestion and why LeBron was looking for an upgrade at the trade deadline. I'm afraid that the answer to this question is D'Angelo Russell, because for the most part, LeBron and Anthony Davis have been constants this year. Now, LeBron's been bothered a little bit by this ankle injury, has missed some games recently, but AD has been there almost every night. LeBron's missed a few games, but no big stretch of time. They have been there delivering, but they were there delivering and the Lakers were playing below 500 basketball. The reason the Lakers have played so much better over the last month has been D'Angelo Russell. When he was moved back into the starting lineup about a month ago due to injuries, he has played some of the best basketball of the last 3 or 4 years. He's averaging 26 points and 6 assists over the last 15 games. The Lakers' offense has exploded. They were in the bottom 10 or 12 in offense for the big part of the first half of the season. These last few weeks, they've played some of their best offense that they've played literally in 4 decades. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. The last 11 games, I said this last week, Stephen A. almost fell out of his chair. They are playing Showtime-level Lakers offense. And it's really tied to D'Angelo Russell. It's not that LeBron and AD haven't been doing it. LeBron and AD are going to show up and play. They're going to deliver. But they just can't score, Legs. This team just doesn't have enough offensive talent to not have that third option. And it's, there's other things going on, too. Hachimura has gotten healthy and has moved in the starting lineup. Austin Reeves has found his comfort level playing alongside D'Angelo Russell. There's other stuff going on. But really, it's been Russell getting hot. And the reason that gives the Lakers so much anxiety is that he is known in his career for running hot and cold. Hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. He could easily go right back into a cold streak and the Lakers could get dragged down with it. So if you're hoping for a Lakers run, if you're hoping they can get into that top six, which is still possible on their plate, D'Angelo Russell's got to stay hot. And I'm sorry to say it, but he's probably the most important Laker going forward.
No, I love the take, and I think, look, the supplemental offense, and where's that going to come from? We can say the same thing about some of these other teams that have multiple stars. That guy in that third slot, fourth slot, right? How are they going to shoot the ball? How are they going to play? Because in a playoff series, more attention is directed at the stars. You have a game-by-game adjustment made by your opponent in figuring out ways to blitz guys and trap guys and get the ball out of their hands. So there are more opportunities, actually, as you go deeper into a series for those guys, slotted 3, 4, and 5 on any of these rosters. I just think it's kind of ironic that we're talking about the Lakers and saying all these things that, like, have to happen and have to go right for them. And that's exactly my point, why I just don't think all of those things are going to line up when you have to get to a certain number every night against some of these teams and what they represent offensively on a given night. I don't know that the Lakers can match that at their best in a 7-game series.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Wendy. I don't feel like this is LeBron's last stand, but what would be interesting to me if it was his last stand alongside his son, which I know he would ultimately love to see happen. That'd be pretty epic. All right, you guys sit tight. A lot more NBA to get to in just a minute. I'm going to bring out our NFL folks, and we head to the Chi-Town. The big question circling Chicago is whether they'll draft a quarterback with the top overall pick or lock down Justin Fields for the future. The internet raising an eyebrow after Justin Fields unfollowed his franchise on social media. Justin, what's the deal?
What's with the unfollow with the Bears? What's up with that?
Man, bro, I'm glad we're talking about it because why do people take social media so serious? Like,
but like, why are you unfollowing the Bears?
This and that. Like, I still mess with the Bears. This and that. I'm just trying to take a little break. I unfollow the Bears and the NFL, bro. I'm not just trying to have football on my timeline. Like, I know y'all mess with a girl, EQ, especially you. Just because you don't follow the girl on IG, don't mean you're not messing with them.
That's true. That's true. That's fact.
Do you want to stay in Chicago or what's up?
Yeah, of course. Of course I want to stay. I can't see myself playing in another place, but I love the city. The city's lit. The fans there, they're great. Mm-hmm. And the people. But it's a business. I ain't got no control over it.
Oh, that's a lot right there. And it's so good. I got Kimberly A. Martin here in studio looking fabulous. Can't wait to get your take on. I love that he brought up the ladies example that you could be, you're talking
just
to someone. Just because
I don't follow you doesn't
just
mean we're not messing.
Just because I don't like and subscribe. Mike T. from the home cam, great to have you with us. And thank you for being with us here on short notice. Appreciate you. All right, Kimberly, are you buying what Fields is selling there?
I am buying that Justin Fields handled that flawlessly.
Yeah.
But no, if it's clear that Justin is seeing what we all are seeing, which is the writing is on the wall as far as his tenure in Chicago goes. But I've been impressed with how he handled that entire podcast interview, because he didn't throw gasoline on this and make it a bigger thing. He said, listen, I want to be in Chicago. I can't picture myself playing anywhere. And I still rock with the Bears. The question, though, isn't about how Justin feels about the Bears. It's about how the Bears feel about Justin. And even if they may love the player and wish things were different, everybody in the NFL has told me the Bears have to reset the clock at QB, which is no disrespect to Justin, but they need to move on as far as the draft goes. So Justin is saying, listen, I just want to know. Tell me. And that's what we want. If we're going to keep this a buck and we, you know, use the relationship analogies, do you want me or not? Just let me know. And Justin's saying, just let me know. I want this to be resolved so I can go spend my offseason studying film, watching the team of whoever I'm going to play. And I think we all can understand that.
Yeah.
Just give me some resolution as to what my future will be.
Mike T, where are you at on this?
Yeah, well, first of all, the whole conversation was interesting. You could go to the 33rdteam.com and hear the whole conversation. But I agree with Kimberly. What's interesting to me is his character. And next week, everyone's going to be at the Combine. And as a former GM, one of the questions we would always ask is, who do you call when you have a bad day? Because we want to know the support system that a player is going to have when they have bumps in the road. And obviously, Justin Fields has an incredible support system because he has every right to go see Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, the head coach and GM, knock on the door and say, hey, what's up? And I'll tell you, those are really hard conversations. A decade ago, I had to look Chad Pennington in the eye and said, hey, we're moving on from you. We're going to go try to get Brett Favre because we think we could win a championship with Brett and not with you. And that's part of your responsibility. And clearly, they're moving on from him, and they should tell him that. And what we're seeing is exhaustion. He just wants to have closure. He deserves it. And they should just say, hey, we're moving on. We just don't know when and where. It probably will happen at the Combine. To me, it's likely it's Atlanta or Pittsburgh. But I think he deserves to have the closure. Mm-hmm. He's given them 3 great years. And the other thing that's remarkable to me, guys, is he's 24 years old and has just an unbelievable presence about him and maturity. Yeah. I know I wouldn't be that elegant if I was him, but he's really handled this extremely well.
He did. He handled that flawlessly. He didn't get jammed up at all. I feel like I would have been like, yeah.
No, because I would have done more than unfollow the Bears. So that speaks to the type of character that he has, because he's been put in a terrible position by the organization, and yet he still has shown that he can comport himself as a professional.
Would you have blocked them or muted them?
Oh, listen, if you're not feeling me, we do not mess. We do not need to be friends. We need to move on. Yeah, no.
Oh, my goodness. All right, with that being said, needing to move on, Kimberly, where's the best place you feel like for Justin Fields?
Okay, here we go. Talk to me out, Molly. All right, I get it. Everybody's going to say Atlanta because he's from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it make things so easy? Go back home. The Falcons were a team that was interested in Deshaun Watson, you know, that type of player. Justin's a proven playmaker. But Mike T, Molly, I'm loving the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. And the reason I'm loving the Pittsburgh Steelers is because I don't want to see what the Pittsburgh Steelers did after Ben Roethlisberger no longer was there, which was, hey, they just stayed at 20 and got Kenny Pickett. And this is no knock to Kenny Pickett, but it just felt like the succession plan wasn't well thought out. And it felt like they took a guy, but did they love the guy? Did they know that we can win a championship with him? When I think about Justin Fields paired with Mike T, a guy who from jump, you know exactly where you stand with him. When I look at this offense, the Steelers are so interesting and fun to watch when they're good, but man, it's been hard to watch them at times. They have a tight end that they don't use enough in Pat Freiermuth. They've got George Pickens, a guy that we don't consistently see get the ball enough. We watch an offense that didn't have a clear offensive vision. They had 3 different coordinators last season, and it was a mess, and they still were decent enough in that division. So imagine if they had Justin Fields. I think it's a home run. I just don't want them to do a Band-Aid type of move. I want Mike T to have a quarterback for several years that he can build with.
Yeah, but imagine him getting to play under Mike Tomlin. You can't get a better coach. But Atlanta's also interesting, of course, the homecoming.
Yes, and
what that would be as well. So both great options. Where are you on this, Mike T?
Yeah, I actually like Pittsburgh. I agree with what K-Bart said. I just want to add another really interesting dynamic. Arthur Smith, their new offensive coordinator, in 2019 and 2020, when he was the OC of the Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill led the NFL in yards per pass. He had a quarterback rating of like 110. He had two unbelievable years. And when you evaluate Justin Fields and Ryan Tannehill, they are very similar in my opinion. Big, strong, athletic, can make plays outside the pocket. And when you start comparing Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris on this side and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown with Pickens and Deontay Johnson, I think there's a lot more similarities than there are differences. So I love Mike Tomlin and obviously his Hall of Fame track record, but the scheme of Arthur Smith with Justin Fields, to me, with that defense, you're going to be talking about such an unbelievably competitive AFC North. And by the way, we already talked about his character. You don't think the way Justin Fields has comported himself, if I'm Raheem Morris or Mike Tomlin, you know, we always say the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. I'm looking at a guy that only has completed about 60% of his passes, 40 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. But if I could get him in my system with a fresh start, boy, the sky is the limit. And I'd be really aggressive right now. And Molly, this is something we got to keep in mind. Last year, that blockbuster trade happened right at the combine between Carolina and Chicago. Those conversations are happening right now.
Yeah.
These deals are so complicated between cash and cap that they're talking right now. I think we'll have a deal when we get to Indy.
Yeah, and the combine's like 2 weeks away. Before you jump in here, Kimberly, Mike T, tell me this. Would Fields make the Steelers a legit threat, you think? Because that AFC is loaded. And the AFC North is so good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think yes, because they have a championship defense and their quarterback play, Molly, would go from, let's be generous, a C+, B-2. I think Justin Fields in this offense is at least a B+, and maybe even better, because again, all he has to do is distribute the ball to these weapons, and Arthur Smith's going to control the line of scrimmage and run the ball. So I think they're going to be really hard to beat, and I think they're right there with Cincinnati and Baltimore.
1,000%. I think if you're Justin, Atlanta is easier from the standpoint of the division.
Yeah.
You go into Atlanta, you're arguably the best quarterback in the division already. Do you want to face a Myles Garrett and the type of defense that you have in the AFC North? No, but when I think about his potential in Pittsburgh versus what it could be in Atlanta, I just think it's a better situation. And the other teams don't want to see Justin Fields either.
Yeah. And maybe a better coaching situation as well.
Yes.
Yeah. In celebration of Black History Month, here's your trivia question for the day. Who is the first African-American to win an individual medal in Olympic gymnastics? That answer after this quick break. Come on back. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV
is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Black people have influenced every aspect of American life. Don't believe me? Just take a look at what's happening in gymnastics. For the first time ever, black gymnasts took home the gold, silver, and bronze medals in the women's all-around competition at the 2023 World Championships. And at the college level, athletes like Trinity Thomas, like MJ Frazier, Nia Smith, Jordan Chiles, and the queen of the floor, Darion Goborn, are infusing the sport with style and swag. Simone Biles is the GOAT, but judging by the talented black women in the sport today, gymnastics is in good hands.
Gosh, these women are so talented. I gotta be honest, Tim, just hearing Monica McNutt's voice makes me smile. She is just such good energy. Here's today's Black History Month trivia, and the answer for you is Dominique Dawes in 1996. Did you get that? Back to the association we go now. We highlighted Stephen A's number one storyline to start the show, and now we focus on his number three storyline, which is, will Jason Tatum capture his first MVP? Here's SA with more on the Celtics star.
Let's go to top three, though, please. Give it to me. Bam! Jason Tatum as the league MVP. The man has been putting folks on notice for years. Didn't play that great in the NBA Finals, but he is a superstar in this league. An incredible kid, role model, the whole nine. We love little Deuce as well. Go ahead, best record in the game with the best player on that team. You win the championship, that kind of face of the NBA we were talking about, J.J. Shea Shea. Excuse me, nothing to talk about if Jason Tatum wins the title. Boom, that's a top three story.
Tatum currently has the fifth best odds to win MVP at 25-1. That's a big shift from just last week where he had 50-1 odds. All right, Wendy, here's what we're breaking down. Does Tatum have a legit shot to win the MVP this season?
So this is a two-sided question. Is he an MVP-level player? Can he be an MVP? My answer, and it has been for a while, is yes. Mm-hmm. I can close my eyes and see Jason Tatum holding the Larry O'Brien trophy in one hand and the Bill Russell trophy in the other in June. I believe he can do it. I believe he has got the size, he has got the drive, he has got the skills, he plays both ends of the court. Absolutely, he meets the criteria of being on a great team. Will he win the MVP this year? I think even at those odds, I think that's a bad bet because I think it's longer odds than that. The polling data that Tim Bontemps has done at ESPN shows that Jason Tatum with the MVP voters is not in the top five in the last two polls. Now, we'll see how strong Stephen A's influence is on the voters because Stephen A has elected to make this a cause for himself, and he is pushing hard for Tatum. In fact, Stephen A's commentary on this show is probably what's moved the odds. But the thing about it
is God,
that
Wendy, do you really have to do that? Tatum. He's probably watching this, and I can't,
well,
he
I'm
can't
just
make
honest.
The head any bigger.
Seriously.
I mean, figuratively, because he actually has a peanut head, literally, but like seriously right now? Or, really? Really? Stephen A's moving
I know. I don't actually think that it's smart by the sports books, and they must have money coming in on Tatum, which is why they're lowering it. And I think it's more like Stephen A is influencing those bettors more than anything else.
The essay effect.
The thing about it is there's two things working against Tatum. One is that even though the MVP is supposed to be about this season, we know that it's not. It's often about the narrative. And he had a poor showing in the 2022 finals. He was dealing with a wrist injury at the time, but the fact is they were ahead in the series. He had several bad games in a row, and they lost. Last year in the Boston in the Heat series, he didn't perform great. In Game 7, he had a miserable Game 7 when they needed him to deliver. He had an unbelievable Game 7 against the 76ers last year, 51 points in that one. Jaw-dropping performance, but he has a couple of sort of red marks on his resume that people want to see. The other thing I'm going to say, and then I'll hand it over to you, Legs, is that it's very difficult for his case to improve. The Celtics have been in first place since November. What's he going to do between now and the end of the season? Get them in more first place? And the way the team is structured, he's not going to have a run of 5-6 games in a row where he scores 45 points. They don't need that. Nor is that the way he's playing. One of the reasons why the Celtics are having great success is that he's given up some of what he needs to do on offense to help other players and also focus on the defensive end. So I understand why Stephen A. says that. I understand why the people are making the case for him. Just the lay of the land, I don't see it going that way.
Yeah, look, the ebb and flow of this thing are so interesting to me. And I look at Jason Tatum. Clearly, he's in the mix. He's going to get votes. There's probably 6 or 7 guys I could list right now that are going to get votes. I don't think Jason Tatum's going to win it either, because it's just like you said, Wendy, you get a feel for the momentum of these type of awards. I don't know that I've been this deep into the season, like coming out of All-Star break when it was this wide open. And it really became open when Joel Embiid got hurt. He was the guy that looked like he had a firm grip on this award and was going to win it. Once he got hurt, it opened up all these possibilities for a lot of guys, including Tatum. And here's why, ultimately, he's not going to win it. I think the general perception is he's got too much help. It's crazy to think, right? This is a guy that's been to a bunch of conference finals. We were trying to get the number on. I didn't have it off the top of my head. I think he's been there 5 times, if I'm not mistaken, to the conference finals, 1 finals appearance. So he's had all of these close calls, right? Right on the threshold, year after year. But early on, he was so young. He wasn't in the MVP mix yet. He was 21, 22 years old going through those conference finals. When he finally got to that level player, like a first team all-league caliber player where he's a legitimate MVP candidate, the Boston Celtics weren't able to do what they're doing now, which is have that best record in the league. They've got it now. You think that would mean, hey, maybe this is Tatum's year. The problem is people look at it and say, wait a second. You've got too much help now. You've got too much help. Your numbers have been cannibalized by the amount of help that you've brought in. You added Jrue Holiday, right? An upgrade over Marcus Smart overall. You bring in a Porzingis, which is an upgrade over Robert Williams or Al Horford because of how much offense they have. You know, Derek White's importance on this team and adding him last year. So there's so many options now for the Celtics. And even though Tatum is clearly their best player, that's how people are viewing this. And it's actually hurt him that now they have, I think, clearly the best starting 5 in basketball right now. It's weird. It's worked against him. So he might be the opposite, Wendy, of what Giannis and Jokic had to do, which was win a couple MVPs and then not finish it off in the playoffs. And people start to wonder, wow, will they ever get another one? Will they get the benefit of the doubt? They're going to have to win a title first. They both did it after getting the MVPs.
Yeah.
Tatum might be reverse. Go win a title first, and then next year, assuming your team has this level of regular season success, maybe you finally get your accolades and get that award. It's weird. It's worked in reverse for Jason Tatum, but I agree. I wouldn't put him probably in my top 3 for winning the MVP right now, and I just feel like that's what the momentum out there feels like when this topic comes up. His name is not at the forefront.
Yeah, listen, I'm not an NBA player, but I would care more about a finals MVP than a regular MVP. And Stephen A. did his list.
Absolutely.
J.J. Redick brought that up. He said, you know, I think that's the sexier storyline. Can Tatum finally win his finals MVP, get over the hump? Where are you on that, Wendy?
I think he's got all of the ability to be a dominant player at the highest level. And he has had incredible playoff games. You know, he had this amazing game in Milwaukee 2 years ago facing elimination in game 6 where he just carried the Celtics through that series. He had that game against Philly last year. He was having a miserable game in an elimination road game in Philly last year in game 6 and had a jaw-dropping fourth quarter. I believe in him. I believe he can do it. But as Tim said, he does have a long history in deep playoff games, and it's a spotty history. And that can work against him when people evaluate him. But I believe he can accomplish anything in this game.
I tell you what's going to be interesting for Jason Tatum. If the Boston Celtics get there, something tells me it won't even be enough if they win it and he's the finals MVP. It actually comes down to, like, think about who they potentially could play. They could play, let's say, they could play Denver. They could play Phoenix. They could play the Clippers. You know, maybe even some people think Dallas is now maybe poised to make a run here. Well, think about the top players on those teams. So even if the Celtics win it, if it's like this collective effort But Tatum has the best stats, so he wins the Finals MVP. I still don't know if that's going to be enough to satisfy a lot of people because he may be outplayed by the top player on one of those other teams. He's got to not only be the Finals MVP and win a championship, I think he's got to be the best player in the series. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're Finals MVP. Like, there could be somebody on the opponent that loses six or seven games that actually outplays Tatum, but they come up on the losing side and they can't win Finals MVP. So I think Tatum has to check it all. Win a championship, be the best player in the finals, no matter what the other star looks like, and then obviously that would mean Finals MVP.
Before you jump in here, Wendy, by the way, you were close. He's been in the league seven seasons. Yeah. Finals once, conference finals four times.
Four times, okay.
And listen, I know I'm like the Connecticut girl, but I would love to see Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference finals.
Sign me up.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, Molly, I'll just say this has potential to be the summer of Jason Tatum, okay? Before you feel bad for him about maybe not winning the MVP. The Celtics have a great chance at winning that championship. They have so far what looks like the best team and the deepest team at the top end. They've got a chance. He could do it, all right? Then he is in position to break teammate Jaylen Brown's record for the largest max contract in NBA history. He is going to get a $300+ million supermax contract extension this summer. And then I expect him to be a central member of Team USA going to Paris where he can get an opportunity to win a gold medal. So Jason Tatum's got the opportunity this summer to accomplish just about everything you could possibly imagine, including be the richest contract in NBA history. So he plays well. You're not going to feel bad for Jason Tatum potentially by the end of the summer.
Yeah, yeah, certainly certainly getting paid, that's for sure. But it's not the same as rings, though, Wendy. Listen, when you got that amount of money, sometimes the rings mean more, right?
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, back to the association. Despite All-Star MVP Damian Lillard, the Bucks not living up to expectations. 35-21, but let's be honest, four coaches in a year, that doesn't help either. Doc Rivers still trying to figure things out as he's 3-7 as head coach of Milwaukee. Now, in a piece with The Athletic, Giannis Antetokounmpo says the Bucks are Damian Lillard's team. Quote,
I'm his biggest fan. Good or bad, I ride with Dame until the end. I ride with Dame. Like I've been saying this over and over again, this is his team. Down the stretch, he's going to get the ball. There's nothing else that we will do. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know what else to say. But at the end of the day, he has to believe it, too. Okay. I feel like there's a lot to unpack here, Tim.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot in here. Break it down for me.
Well, look, first of all, I think that Giannis is being sincere. He would like that in a perfect world for that to be the case. Like Dame to be that guy, Dame to believe he's that guy. Kind of similar if you think about to what the Lakers went through down in the bubble. LeBron genuinely gave control in the reins to Anthony Davis because he knew that he needed him to be that for them to win it. And they did, and he genuinely accepted that. I think Giannis believes it. The problem is I'm not sure that Damian Lillard has felt comfortable thinking of himself that way since he got there. And this has got to be a strange thing for Damian Lillard. It's the first time, I'm sure, in his life he's not the best player on his own team. So you think about, you know, his entire career and everything he did in Portland, and he was scrutinized and we looked at him a certain way, but we also knew he was never on a team good enough to really win it. He goes to Milwaukee and right off the bat, immediately, expectations are championship right now. You're paired with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And by the way, you're not the best player on the team, so let's see what that feels like when you're playing. And when I watch them play, I don't get yet that they have figured out the perfect flow between the two of them on the court. So Giannis is doing everything he can to empower Damian Lillard, but the problem is Giannis casts such a long shadow that I think Damian Lillard still understands that he's in that shadow. Now, late game, that's different. Yeah, Damian Lillard is going to have the ball a lot because he's delivered, you know, and he's a better option a lot of times in running ball screen with Damian Lillard, the ball in his hands. He's 90-plus from the line. He's a deep three-point threat if that's what it takes. So I get all of that. To say that it's Dame's team is taking it too far. This is Giannis's team, and the best they can hope for, Wendy, I think, let's figure out a way to max out how we coexist, and we do this together. And there are going to be stretches in games when it feels like it's Lillard's show, but it really isn't. It's ultimately Giannis that gets it done. I think he's trying to mentally convince Damian Lillard of something that so far to me, and what I've observed, is not coming easy to him. Playing alongside a guy like Giannis and feeling that empowered to play that way all the time. And I think that's what Giannis is alluding to because he thinks that's the best path for them to win a title because Giannis knows he's going to affect the game in every single way across the board. You know, defense, rebounding, playmaking, whatever it takes. And he'll always put up big scoring numbers. Lillard, it's really going to be judged in one way. Are you putting up numbers? Are you doing it efficiently? And are you making shots that are timely when we have to have them? That is what's on Damian Lillard's plate, really only. And that's what Giannis is trying to convince him of and empower him to do. And I don't think it's come very easy to Damian Lillard so far, Wendy.
These are good comments because they indicate that Giannis is words that he's dedicated to it. But the truth is that their pairing on the court has not gone great. And I don't think it's a personality conflict. I just think that it, you know, it's a unfamiliar place. It's not something that either of them have done before. And it just hasn't really borne fruit yet. That doesn't mean that it won't. By the spring, it doesn't mean that it can't. But that idea of them being a great pick and roll team, it hasn't happened. It's not something that had the instantaneous chemistry that I think a lot of people thought. I mean, I know Giannis thought it because he did it with his actions. He went and signed the contract days after Dame got there. He believed in it. Like that, to me, actions over words. He does believe in it. And I'll also say this. I don't think that it all has to be on this season. If it doesn't work this year and they don't hit their absolute height, if they're showing potential, they can come back. Dame is not 39 years old like LeBron. Dame has years left. Giannis is signed there for years. The team probably needs a little bit of work. They're in the middle of all kinds of coaching changes and stuff like that. But I do think that they need to have progress between now and the end of the season. And one of the other things is Dame's been in a pretty big slump. If you go back and look, since the first of the year, he's shooting barely over 30% on threes. His catch-and-shoot numbers, not that that's what he is as a catch-and-shoot player, his catch-and-shoot numbers are down near 25% on threes. His dominance in stretching the floor has just not been there. He's frankly having the worst shooting season he's had in a decade if you take out that year 2 years ago where he was playing through the sports hernia and had to, at midseason, had to just stop and go get surgery. He was having a miserable year that year. If you take that out, he's not shooting or scoring or doing anything like he did before. So I think Giannis's sentiments are appreciated and ultimately could yield to good things here, but that is not what we are seeing necessarily take place on the floor.
Well, before we move on here real quick, I just want to ask you that. In terms of him being in a slump, what are you attributing that to, Dame?
Not making shots. You know, he's just, you know, I do think the ball is not in his hands as much, even though I know Giannis says he wants the ball in his hands. And look, Molly, we may get to April and May, and we may see playoff games where this works brilliantly, where it's a tie game with 4 minutes to go, and Dame makes three shots down the stretch, and Giannis makes one, and they're in the post-game press conference with their arms around each other going, this is what our vision was. That is absolutely still on the table. But right now, Dame is not shooting the ball great and not feeling, obviously, a great flow. The Bucks are underachieving. And that's just the truth of it. That, again, doesn't mean that it won't work. But those comments from Giannis are one thing. The actual production on the court has been another.
And one thing I'll speak to in terms of what I've seen and what could potentially be affecting Damian Lillard, you know, it's a big difference when you are a guy with a franchise and the thought process of what the best option is on this possession is eliminated from your thinking. That's where he lived in Portland. That is a really free place to be as an offensive player, as a shooter, or as a franchise, you know, go-to scorer. Now the thought process is there with Damian Lillard, and it's not as comfortable. It's not as obvious to him when he's coming up the floor, when he's got the ball, because he's got Giannis Antetokounmpo on his team, and he's got a team with those level of expectations. He's never been on a team that had this level of expectations. And so I think it has to be something attributed to there's a thought process going on that may be interrupting, right, the natural order for Damian Lillard in the way he plays and being in a relaxed state, knowing exactly what is expected of him trip after trip. It's a little bit different here. And I think that's probably what's going on with Dame a little bit as well. Let's see if he can find that rhythm and find that comfort zone alongside Giannis here in these last 20-plus games heading into the playoffs.
Tim, I want to ask you this. So the question is this season a failure for the Bucks if they don't find a way to win the title? But before you jump into that and being realistic, I called them a super team yesterday, and JJ was like, they're not a super team, right? It's just two guys. Maybe you consider a super team three. But listen, Wendy, you covered Miami forever, right, when LeBron went down there. It wasn't just magic right away. It takes some time. So do you feel like there should be some grace in terms of them getting it together and winning a title? Or is that something that should have been accomplished this year, considering the caliber of these two players?
Yeah, I think there's two separate questions.
Okay.
One is it a failure in that given year? The second one is this their only chance? And I think Wendy was alluding to that. Like, there's no reason why they can't continue to be in the mix and make runs beyond this season. But when you talk about just defining this year, if you pair up two players of this caliber, you do it for one intention: win immediately. The windows in the NBA are so tight. And when you pair up two guys like this, you're expecting to win a championship that year. So if they don't, to me, yes, that is a failed season. It doesn't mean overall this is going to be a failure, because I think they're going to have multiple opportunities to get more comfortable with each other, to, you know, in some ways tweak the rest of the roster and look at what they need are the best fits alongside these two players. So going forward, that's a challenge for your front office. You know, Doc Rivers inherited this team at midseason. Like, he's got some say in this. So give him an offseason when he has a chance to really get into the nuts and bolts of what he wants to change schematically, or what they want to run, or what tweaks he wants to make to the roster. So there's life beyond this season. But when you define this year, it will be a failure if they don't win. Anytime you pair two stars together like this and they stay healthy, you are expecting to end in a championship.
Wendy?
I know this isn't a scorching take, but it depends. Do they lose in the first round to a play-in team like they did last year? Well, then we got a three-alarm fire, okay? Do they lose to the Boston Celtics in Game 7 where Giannis scores 45 and Dame scores 36 and they're laying on the floor after an incredible run? they both lost, but it's not the same. So it just depends. Last year, no matter what Giannis says, it was absolutely a failure. You know how we know it was a failure? Because they fired the coach and traded one of the best players for Dame. So it just depends on how it all comes together. And I would just say about this team, don't judge them where they are right now. I think they can and have shown some possibilities of really improving. I still think they can win the East. I would not pick it, but I would not count them out.
You still think they could win the East?
Yeah, I think they're going to get in the mix. I think their best basketball is yet to come. I agree with that. They hit rock bottom with that Memphis loss. There's no way, other way to say that. That might be the best thing to happen to them going into the break. Take a week off, kind of recalibrate what you need to do. And I challenge Giannis to get this team to just play harder defensively because they haven't done it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.